We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Can I talk football here for a minute? Let's talk Bears, okay?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoffs, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarmed to the ball so incredibly. This speed-burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
Coach, are you kidding me?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt with the mustache. Looks like Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh coach, a little bit, doesn't he?
And Ditka likes it. What kind of a guy is this, right?
With McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Where the Hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. It's a Bears Friday on The Score. Bears Friday brought to you by Duncan. Chicago runs on Duncan. Eddie Jackson at 5. Hey, Coach.
What's up? Sitting here 3-5. That's what's up.
Yeah. It ain't a happy place to be.
Well, it is. It is. Come on. Let's get it right here. For while I'm here, we're going to get a little attitude change, huh?
Okay.
Okay.
A lovely day.
Wow, really? Okay.
Little Bill Withers, you know? Come on, let's go. Game time.
Well, so, listen, I don't even really feel like it's that down on the Bears. I feel like a little bit of resignation has set in. Like, they're bad.
Well,
what positives do you see?
What positives do I see? The defense is still, other than Akeem Hicks, it's the same guys, right, with the same minds and bodies and football knowledge, maybe more than they had last year. So the ability's there. You know, they haven't got the turnovers. That's the key on that defense. About half the turnovers that they got last year. Last year they averaged over two a game, which is really crazy. And, you know, now they're not happening. You know, it's so I'm positive about the defense. And I have seen enough with the run game that, hey, guys, I am encouraged. We can run the ball. I mean, we've done it in spurts. We haven't done it consistently. But we've got running back. We've had good design of plays. We've had good execution when we've run it. We just got to do it. So I'm not discouraged by that at all. And, you know, Mitch right now, I read something this week where his completion percentage and his efficiency outside the pocket is twice as good as it is when he's in the pocket. Get him out of the pocket. Play action. Move him. There's a lot of good things that I think you can do to get this thing turned around.
Why doesn't the head coach do that?
I think he might this week. You know, and that's what got me last week a little bit, as everybody. You know, they come out in the third quarter, and they start the third quarter with two tight ends in the game, one in the backfield. They run that ISO lead week, as we call it. They make yards on it. They come back the next time. They go three tight ends in the game and only one receiver, and they go play pass off the run, roll him out, and he hits the 50-yard pass. So, you know, it's there. It's there. Matt Nagy just got to make up his mind what he wants to do. And I look at everything from a coach's perspective. You know, I sit there, I lay there at night, and I say, okay, if I was defending this team, you know, what would and I don't want this to be negative, because I'm not going to be negative about anything today, but I'm being realistic right now and honest. If I'm defending the Bears right now, I always say to myself, what do I got to take away? And I'm not sure. You know what I mean?
There's nothing that scares you.
Well, no, but there's nothing that they do consistently. Usually at this point in the season, it's A, B, and C. Okay?
They've only had two games this year where they've committed to the running game.
Yeah, and you know, and even the passes, I mean, whether it's empty set or whatever, you know, and I just think, you know, and I'm back on Mitch. I haven't thrown the towel in on Mitch, but when he rolled out, and there was only one wide receiver in the game, there was only one guy to throw to. He throws it. He completes it. He's right on the money. The pass that everybody's talking about when he got sacked earlier, there's five guys going out. You know, it looked like they might have been thinking they were going to be a man. They drop in zone coverage. Miller is open. He doesn't see him. He's wanting to get the ball to Robinson. Robinson runs into the middle linebacker. He's thinking it's man, it's zone. Mitch tucks the ball and gets sacked. You know, don't give him five decisions or three decisions. That old expression, a clear mind equals fast feet. A cloudy mind for any football player equals slow feet. You know, so clear it out. Let him play fast. That's my spin.
That seems like a difficult proposition for him, though. It seems like the game is there's too much going on in his head. How do you get him to relax and slow down?
You know, you run the ball and go play action. He doesn't have a lot of options. Mitch, you know, it's two receiver route. You know, or we're gonna go play pass. Line, I'd love to see bread and butter. It was about when I was coaching the Bears. We put this in. Joe Pendry was the master of this play. North Turner. We made a living off this play with Darryl Johnson and Dallas Cowboys. We would line up, obviously, with a fullback. They could use the tight end, and we would run the lead. We had about six or seven plays and six or seven passes. But you know the number one pass that was open maybe 80 to 90% of the time? It was fake the play pass, and the fullback just goes in the flat. You know what I mean? And you take the money. How many times did I scream to Eric Craig, every quarterback? I can hear Jimmy Johnson screaming to Troy, take the money.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it to the flat. You know, he might break a tackle and make 15. If he makes five, we're on our way. So, I mean, there's a lot of simple, high-percentage throws. And Matt Nagy knows this. I'm not saying anything that he doesn't know. You know, you ask me what I think, and this is how I see it, just from the seat that I sit in now.
So, here's what I struggle with what you're talking about. Because what you're saying obviously makes sense, and you're right. They haven't been able to move the ball running it. And simplifying it obviously is good for Mitch.
But you got to have, not to interrupt you, you got to have a pass or two exactly. And I learned this really from Norv Turner. I mean, because I worked it, you know, when I was the defense coordinator, he was the offensive coordinator. He's Carolina now. He's the offensive coordinator down there. And you watch Carolina, every running play they have with Christian McCaffrey, they have a play pass off of it.
Sure.
And they run it and they block it exactly the same. And it is a pain in you know what to try to defend that, because the defensive linemen are wrecking for the run and it's a pass. The next time you turn them loose on a pass and they hand the thing off and hit you inside. So, I mean, it's not just handing the ball off. I mean, it's not that simple. You have to really say these are our five runs and these are our five play passes. And when I put the tape on, until the ball is handed off, I shouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Is that dumbing it down from Mitch's standpoint too much?
It's dumbing it down from my standpoint.
Fair
I
enough.
I don't know.
He's just supposed
Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith. Maybe it is. You know, I don't know.
Okay,
but you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's not the. I'm losing my. I'm getting in a sweat here again.
I don't want to upset
you,
Coach.
It's not the offense that people might want to see. They want to see the spread and the ball thrown all over and entertainment. But it's an offense.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Raiders last night?
Yes.
John Gruden lining up in the eye, and he's running play pass, and he's running lead. I mean,
I loved it.
I don't know. It's boring, I guess.
Okay. No, you know what? You're winning right now, Dave. The old school thought, if that's what we're going to call it, of blocking and tackling being still critical. I remember how down you were last year after that 54-51 game. You came in, it was the Chiefs and the Rams, and he said, I said to Jan last night, God, if I was coaching now, I'd have to coach basketball. It irritates. Right. But we had a Super Bowl that was 3-3 in the fourth quarter, and the old man, John Gruden, oh boy, Danny, Not everybody who's coaching in this league looks great in Under Armour these days. He runs the ball, and they get off blocks. They tackle. They pressured the passer last night. It was artful how they won their fifth game of the year.
Going in, I got to total it up after last weekend's game. Going into last week's games, 9 out of the 10 top rushing teams were all above 500. 9 of the top 10. The top 3, Baltimore, San Francisco, and Minnesota, at that time, before last weekend, they were all competing to be division champs. So that tells me that the running back position has become, and then that's not even counting the Green Bay's and teams like that that are running the ball more, mm-hmm. you know, but they're not running at 40, 50% of the time.
Right.
So the running game is back in the NFL, fellas, and teams are winning with running the football.
So I just wonder, what does that solve big picture? Like, you're
it
right.
It helps your defense, number one.
Okay, well, maybe it wins you a few more games this year, but does it really develop Mitch?
Well, maybe Mitch is that type of quarterback. Who do you want?
I want a
quarterback. You want Troy Aikman, or do you want, I don't know, who do you want?
I want a quarterback who I can say, throw the ball. Like,
I think Dave has been trying to say is you got to play with what you got here.
I know, and but you want Mitch to be exposed and bottom out.
Well,
so
that's
a
different conversation, though, than where we're at right now. Right. He's just trying to win the game and try to simplify it for him.
I'm trying to beat Detroit this week.
That's all he wants. Okay. He wants to beat the Lions.
Yeah, I'm going
to
beat the Lions, and we will. But
block Luther Ellis, damn it. Come on, God. Todd Berger, get out on Luther Ellis.
Yeah, think about that. A state heavyweight wrestler against an all-pro. God bless Todd. He was as tough as they come.
Yeah, he was something. I know.
I know Tony Wise is probably listening. I got him worked up now. Go ahead.
Let's get to the defense.
Yeah.
They tackled kind of sloppy last week. Eddie Jackson's supposed to be with us at 5 o'clock today, and I thought he led the team in tackles, but a lot of them were up here, right around the neck.
Well, that's not a good sign. First of all, you just said it. Say what you just said. Repeat it, Danny.
The tackling was high.
The safety led
the team in tackles.
That's not good. I mean, when a safety leads a team in tackles, to me, you know, that's in the NFL nowadays, that's not good. I mean, you know what? I don't know. I mean, I really expected another year, a full year off season and everything. I really thought, and I said it on the show right here, one of the first shows, I thought that Roquan Smith, I said, this guy's got more ability, you know, running, jumping, speed, toughness. I mean, not toughness, ability, than I thought that Urlacher or Mike Singletary had. And I know both of those guys and played against them in the whole bit. It hasn't happened. He hasn't developed. You know what I mean? I mean, really thought that this would be a step up year for him. You know, I was Eddie Jackson. I mean, he had a great year last year. Could have been the MVP on the team. You know, these young kids, I was expecting big steps.
Doesn't have a pick yet.
Yeah, you knew that the Khalil Mack was going to get double teamed and blah blah blah. And I says, well, this will be the year that Floyd takes another big step. So I don't know. You know, I just hope that it's not a mentality that we're not going to score. We're going to scrub. If we don't shut them out, the minute they get 10 points, we're in trouble. I don't think it's that. You know, Eddie could answer that for you, I'm sure. It just doesn't seem like they've taken the step that you'd like them to take. But I don't know. There's a lot of season left right now. And you know what I expect to see this week? I mean, I expect to see, I mean, for them to beat the Lions. I mean, Matthew Stafford is having a career year for him, the quarterback for the Lions. And I would expect Chuck Pagano this week to come out and just turn the guys loose. We haven't seen pressure. We haven't seen blitz. The receivers, Marvin Jones,
Kenny Galladay.
Those guys are good, okay? But this game, Fuller, Prince, these guys, I would call them in and say, hey, you know what? We're going to have to cover this guy one-on-one because we're coming after him. And I would expect a lot of blitz this week because if they don't pressure Stafford and get him on the ground, you know, they could lose this game because he'll find open guys and he can make the great, great throws. He's proven that. So I would expect the defense to look a little bit different this week from a aggressiveness standpoint.
You said there's a lot of season left. I feel like fans don't feel like there is.
That's because of the expectations. I know.
Right.
I know. You know.
How do you deal with that with the players?
And I said this, that, and it's not going to happen. I don't think it could. Dallas was 3-5 last year, and they won their division. Right? I mean, so, you know, what do you think that they were saying in Jerry's world at this time? The same thing. And they got it turned around. I think they won 7 of 8 or whatever they did. So a lot of good things are happening, but it's got to happen now. I mean, they're not going to get a better team. Playing at home, it's time. And if it doesn't happen this week, then I think they got problems. But But I feel good. I think it'll turn. I really
Let's stay positive. That's how you started this. No negativity around here.
Played the music. What else can I do? Sing?
Yes, if you'd like to. What would you like to sing?
Hopefully it doesn't come to that. But if I have to, we will.
What would you say?
Let's make it come to that.
What would your karaoke song of choice
be?
Well,
you know what? At this time of year, I may start singing a Christmas carol for you, but we got about another month, okay?
Okay, we're going to hold you to that. All right. We'll have you sing around Christmas time.
I was listening to a Creedence when I walked in. I saw Danny.
Saw Coach earlier. He had the earbuds in.
We can go a lot of different ways. Okay, what are we talking about? Let's go.
This hour on The Score brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on four tires installed at CarX.
There we go. Born in the bayou, Creedence Clearwater.
On it, not in it, Coach.
Story time continues with Dave Wanstead next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Dave Wanstead with McNeil and Parkins.
Eye test.
On 670 The Score.
Love Bears Fridays, brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin' with Dave Wanstead in studio at 4 o'clock. Bottom of the hour, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermission of a Wolves game? Sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. We are winners. We are the Wolves. What else is interesting you in the NFL this weekend, Coach?
Well, I think there's two division games that are big games. You talk about the Minnesota at Dallas game, right? I mean, that you look at their statistics. Both of them are basically top 10 in offensive categories and defensive categories. So from a talent standpoint, I mean, I think it's an even game. I really do. And last week, yes, the Vikings lost last week. The Cowboys won big. But when you saw the score, everybody in America, I think, had the same reaction. What did Kirk Cousins do to screw that up? It wasn't Kirk Cousins. He played good. He played well enough to win. That defense gave up 150 yards rushing. Yes, it wasn't not one of them was a 91-yard run, but even so, you know, they gave up 151 yards rushing and more points than they should have to a Kansas City team, guys. It's playing a quarterback. Are you kidding me? I mean, that was one that they needed to win, in my opinion. And then Green Bay got beat, as we know, you know. Big game this week. I talked to North Turner. They play Carolina at home. Again, two teams. I think this comes down to, you know, we're going to find out a passing game versus running game, okay, this week. Because Carolina, obviously, they've got their rookie young quarterback, Kyle Allen. And it's going to be about Aaron Rodgers and Christian McCaffrey for Carolina. And I know what Carolina's game plan is. And watch and see if this unfolds, you know. And talking with North Turner, I mean, they have to – run the ball to shorten the game. And by that, I mean by running it, run the clock down, make some first downs, keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. And Carolina's feeling right now that, hey, if they can take this thing into the fourth quarter where it's a one-score game, they get a chance to win the football game. They cannot let it get out of hand where Christian McCaffrey all of a sudden is a non-factor and everything falls on their young quarterback.
Terrific game, that Carolina-Green Bay game, potentially. That's 3:25 Sunday afternoon. Aaron Rodgers has performed better against the Panthers than anybody who's ever opposed the Panthers. I saw that nugget this morning. And it's going to be cold. And one thing you know about Norv is even if not there, he is going to stay committed to the running game. That's how they have to win.
Absolutely. And, you know, and Ron Rivera's got a good defense. I mean, you know, statistically, I mean, they're solid in all areas, run and pass. So this is not going to be easy for Aaron Rodgers and company. It'll be interesting to see. And I don't know. I mean, you know, Dalvin Cook, you know, on the other side, it's going to be Zeke Elliott versus Dalvin Cook, two best running backs. So there's some interesting matchups within the division this week.
It's a hell of an offensive weapon your buddy North Turner has at his disposal, Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah, and he's using them. He's getting his share of carries. I mean, he knows about when you get a talented player, you give him the football. I mean, there's no question about that. And, you know, I think this was good news. This, you know, for our listeners, they made a decision this week, as I mentioned, to put Cam Newton on injured reserve, but now they're going with this young quarterback, Kyle Allen. And with that, I think that's good news for Kyle Allen, yeah. But it's real good news for Ron Rivera, the head coach. that, you know, that, hey, okay, you're going to go with the young quarterback. Let's see, you know, do the best we can, see what happens.
The Dallas-Minnesota game is a night game. So we get the Kirk Cousins narrative again. And actually, his numbers when they've played the Island game, when they've been at night, his numbers are okay. The Vikings just, and he had this issue with the Redskins, too. They just don't win. His numbers actually are pretty good when playing under the lights. And I think Dalvin Cook is going to outshine Ezekiel Elliott. I think Elliott's the best pure running back in the league, but I think Dalvin Cook's going to have the big night.
And you know what? Dallas is kind of a funny team. I mean, they're 4-0 in the division. And so you can get – and I've been on teams that get – you know, it's all about the division. That's who say you got to win your division. Well, right now they have a nice – you know, chunk lead at this point in the season on the division. And even though this is a huge game and just as talented a football team, it's not a division game. I'll be curious to see if they, you know, that was a big one. The Giants, I don't care what the record is for the Giants. If you're a Cowboy guy and you play in the Giants, that's a big game. And so we'll see if they can get, you know, get the emotion back up where it needs to be.
Who do you think the best team in the NFC is?
Oh, boy. You know what? Everybody's saying that it's New Orleans. I couldn't argue that. You know what I mean? I mean, I saw him come in here. I didn't think that would happen. You know, without Alvin Kamara and without Drew Brees, you know, we know what they got with Michael Thomas. Their defense is playing lights out. I would probably give it to New Orleans right now.
Yes. I mean, San Francisco is obviously very impressive. That's the Monday night game. They got the Seahawks at home who – Seattle seems to me to be an inflated 7-2.
Hey, wasn't that fun? How about Everett last week, guys? Speaking of Seattle, you know, you watch Lamar Jackson go up and down the field on the Patriots, and everyone's talking, here's possibly your MVP. It's not Russell Wilson. Well, then you flick the station, and Russell Wilson's got one drive in overtime. He gets the ball. He takes the ball, takes it the length of the field, and scores. I mean, and now you... Yep. You say to yourself, you know what? This guy is something else. It's gonna come down to, can Seattle, I mean, Pete Carroll, Kenny Norton, their defense coordinator, they'll put 10 guys at the line of scrimmage. They got to see if Jimmy Garoppolo can beat them or not. We still haven't seen a game like that.
He did it against Arizona, but Arizona's defense not very good.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, against a good team being done, you know, can he get it done? We'll find out.
Dave, we have had some really good Thursday night games this year. Are coaches figuring something out? How to prepare differently for short weeks?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I think the players have accepted that it's here. You know, and a lot of times in your preparation is all about your attitude. You know what I mean? If you're in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, God, I'm still sore. Boy, this is a short week, on and on and on. You know, you kind of go into it, and, you know, you don't get right ready for a fight the night before. It takes 2 or 3 days to get ready for that fight, and it's no different in the NFL. So, you know, I don't hear as much complaining from a player standpoint, even though we know how they feel, and probably the coaches are the same way. But I think everybody's accepted it, and now, okay, we're Thursday night. Let's get ready to go see if we can play.
Dave Wannstedt in studio. The segment brought to you by Amco Total Transmission and Car Care. Amco offers easy payment options, including up to 12 months interest-free payments. Search AAMCO, that's AAMCO Transmissions, and a whole lot more. Financing subject to third-party approval. See local dealer for details.
Listeners are texting, loving not only the football conversation, but Dave Wannstedt's taste in music. Coming in with Bill Withers today, offering up a little CCR, Warren Zevon coming out of the break. Yeah.
The Christmas music's coming. So listeners, that's a tease. That's for all you listeners out there. Stay tuned.
Don't worry, Coach. We're not gonna make you sing the Christmas music quite yet.
LSU Alabama tomorrow, 2:30. Who wins it?
Well, I'm hoping LSU does. I'm a fan of Ed Ogeron. He worked for us at the University of Miami. And I'm pulling for Joe Burrows, the quarterback for LSU. I mean, the guy's had a phenomenal year. I mean, completing 78% of your passes, 30 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. I mean, he's number one right now for Matt Leinart on his Heisman balloting. So a big game for him on a big stage.
Sounds like all of your quarterbacks' numbers you had over the years. What's 75% completion rate, 30 TDs, 4 picks. You had guys like that everywhere you went, didn't you?
Danny, Coach Mack. I was trying to get that done in practice, okay? Not in game.
You and Ed Ogeron, those are a couple of strong accents there.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you one quick story. Eddie Ogeron, we're getting ready to play LSU, and we're at University of Miami. You know, we had, you know, Jerome Brown, Benny Blades. We had some Lonzo Highsmith. We had some players. But we're going down to LSU, and I'd never been there before. We're playing them at night in Baton Rouge. You know, so yeah. Jimmy grabs me after practice. During practice, he says, God, you know what? Jimmy had been down there several times. He says, this is one of the toughest places in the country to play at night. He says, I don't think our guys understand what we're getting into, the Tiger, the bat, every. So I said, you know, Ed's from down there. He's a Cajun. Get him up here and talk to the team. So Jimmy calls him up there after practice and says, Ed, tell these guys what they're getting into. And the veins come out of his neck, and he starts screaming, and he starts talking Cajun to him. And wait, it's over. Wait, and he gets done, and the players are looking at him. You know, our guys at Miami, I mean, they didn't even know what state we were going to. And everybody, hey, good job, Ed. So
Did they understand what his pep talk was?
Coach, 33-3 later, I had a cigarette and a hot dog in a press box in the second quarter.
I'm glad you didn't have that raffle. I saw the food, so one never got past number one. Anyway.
Oh, I love it.
I love the Alonzo Highsmith reference, too.
Dave, enjoy the football. Thank you, as always, for the time.
Right, thanks, Dave.
All right. There goes Stop. Dave Wanstead. My God. Eddie Jackson.
I'm glad you didn't have that raffle of Salafusa. We never got past number one. Anyway.
Eddie Jackson at 5. Other shows were making fun of me today. That's always a good time. It's McNeil and Parker's on the score.
It looks sexy. Go to Europe.
French shirt. I got a sweetness shirt. My zip-up's only half done, so ask me about my shirt.
Makes it more difficult for me to manscape my balls.
Yep, our good friends over at Bernstein and McKnight with my old producers, the I'm Fat podcast. They will... They'll never miss an opportunity, Mac, to take some fun at my expense. I enjoy it very much.
Yeah, that was the case today. I did not catch that part of the Bernstein and McKnight show. Miss a lot.
That's right. Eddie Jackson will join us at 5. We're going to give away Bulls tickets also in the 5 o'clock hour. But
you got tickets laying around? Let me know.
We will, Coach. But we announced yesterday, I announced that my wife Stephanie and I are expecting our first child in March, going to have a baby boy. We're very excited. But how my parents were, everyone was very supportive. Everyone was very happy. And when we announced and told them at the house, within the next 48 hours, 5 different parenting books for dads showed up in the mail from different people. So I was like, I think you're telling me that you're not sure if I'm ready. And the guys at Bernstein and McKnight had a lot of fun with this. But then my old buddy Rick Camp, he crashed the conversation into a wall.
Did you hear the 5 o'clock hour of the McNeil and Parkin show yesterday?
I was unable to listen to the 5 o'clock hour of the McNeil and Parkin show yesterday.
He has a child on the way.
Woof. Good for him. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
That is awesome.
To Danny and Steph.
That is awesome.
It was just hilarious what he was talking about, how everybody in his family thinks he's so incredibly unready for this that, like, out of love, they've been sending him books and like owner's manuals and how to's and paint by numbers. So you've decided to have a child, and he just said, like, the entire tenor of the response has been like, well,
one of the
really?
Books is, we're not on board with this, but here's how you can change
Baby's
that.
Baby's on board. We're not.
So best of luck to him. All I did was
he's
give
gonna be fine.
The first and best piece of advice I got is called a 529.
What is that?
That's your tax-exempt college savings plan. The moment your child has a Social Security number, the instant that Social Security card arrives.
When do you get that? A couple weeks after?
Yeah. Okay. Open that account.
That's almost as good as my number that I threw at him, MD4040.
Right. Yeah, all right.
It's booze for poorer people, Dan.
I thought it was MD2020.
Double it up.
Is that double the alcohol?
Double it up.
Did I just Big Cat Williams drink?
I thought it was Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, it's 2020.
That's why I didn't
still wanted to get two.
When I have 40-40 hindsight from Big Cat, you know.
I mean, they doubled it up.
Oh, sweet God.
Yeah, I was at a party at Cornell.
Congratulations to the Parkinses. Yeah, this becoming is a team of three. That's awesome.
Man, Danny, this is going to be great. Blue Chew working for him, huh?
Yeah.
Campy just crashed the conversation.
Campy,
so good.
He's out of his depth with alcohol. Stick to confections, okay? Pastries.
I was
my number that I threw at him, MD-40-40. Just.
Oh, right. The way that's delivered, like when Tanny plays that back, you can't convince me that's not Les Grobstein. It's giant grobber.
What I loved more than anything was hearing Bernsey or some. It was either Bernsey or Connor in talkback. You could pick it up on the mic. I don't know what that is.
My number that I threw at him, MD-40-40. Just.
Oh, right.
Who was that? Was that Jay?
I think that's Jay.
I thought it was, yeah, it was Jay.
He's got to have an open mic.
I don't know what that means.
Good catch. Oh, my God.
My the image in my head is Bernsey shrugging his shoulders like, what does that mean? And Jay's like, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, the Mad Dog 40s. Like, yeah, but just, God, I remember Campy would sometimes, you know, open mic and just crash the show. And then you have to, like, get the plane back in the air, like, restart the momentum. It's kind of tough to do. Like, yeah. Here we go. All right.
At the D-board, then reboard.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, MD-40-40 is like, that's something cool I probably never even heard about.
Yeah.
I want to drink that.
God. It's sponsored by Jose Canseco.
40-40 club, I get it. There we go. There we go.
Nice,
yep. I understand.
My number that I threw at him, MD-40-40.
Oh, right. Yeah, all right.
I mean, you could land a plane through that silence, that gap there. Oh, my God.
Like, even if he would have hit it correctly, even if he would have said MD-2020, it still is a terrible contribution to the segment.
You're right. You're right.
It's still an
go to hell. Get out of here. We don't need you here.
It's just
I don't know if anyone do people call it MD-2020. It's Mad Dog 2020. People don't use the acronym typically, do they? It's MD-2020. No, it's Mad Dog.
Yeah, it's not WD-40.
It's not take the 2020 out. Like, what's your cheap alcohol of choice if you're just throwing one out there and referencing one?
Ooh, I mean, cheap alcohol of choice draft.
Pabst Blue Ribbon right here.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I mean,
give me a ribbon.
Natty Light.
The blue.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, a 40 is a fine, you know, malt liquor or whatever is a fine argument if you're doing a cheap liquor draft or something, but just.
Stewart's is a fine, cheaper scotch, too, by the way.
Yeah, but just the
idea. I remember,
the idea of it.
Max, like the Macallan 20 year, if you got it.
Right. Exactly. I guess you could call
actually,
that scotch.
Have someone go and get it for you is what Max says.
Yeah. Two fingers of the Macallan 20, please.
With a pinch of pepper.
This guy over here. But yeah, Bernsey just being my
this.
Accountant.
Dan is right and wrong at the same time. Okay.
Okay.
What I suggested to you last night and Stefan, I don't know if you shared the text.
I did. I responded. It was great.
The people who are going to suggest to you that the sky is falling and this is going to be so hard, just ignore that. And Dan's right that it's good to start some college savings early, but you don't have to do it as soon as the umbilical cord is cut. You don't have to rush to your money guy and say, I got to get my 529 started today.
Jason's not born. Jason's just born. They cut the umbilical cord, and where does Dan go? Doesn't say a word to his wife. He's immediately on the phone getting that set up.
Yeah, it takes the romance out of the moment.
I want to max out year one on Jason's 529 immediately. We'll get to the hugs and cleaning up Beth in just a little bit. Right now, I need to get the money in the market.
Danny and I were talking to Bernstein earlier today. A little bit about becoming new fathers and the excitement of it, and we were going over that exact thing of how do you pay for college, and I brought up the point of like, well, 18 years from now, is college even going to be what it is now? Is there going to be an alternative? Is there going to be things that will be more widely accepted than you have to go to a four-year school right after you graduate? And Bernstein's like, you got bigger problems. New York's not going to be here. Florida's not even going to be on the map anymore. I'm like, thanks, Dan.
Yeah, he's like, it's questionable to bring kids into the world in this current environment. I'm like, and then he's like, don't get the $1,000 straw. Guy's got a lot of opinions. Some good, some bad. And he, by the way, I'm not gonna lie, thought has crossed my mind about like the world being underwater and if it's a good idea to bring kids in. But yeah, he can be a little bit of a downer on the situation.
That world
just
will keep
your MD-40-40 drinking all your sorrows away in 18 years.
God, Campy. I miss him crashing the show.
That was special right there.
It really
my
was.
My number that I threw at him, MD4040.
He's so silence. Proud of
See, here are the numbers of products with products that Campy's probably a Take 5 bar, a $100,000 bar. Those are the kind of numbers he should be spewing out.
You got
to
add king size in front of the bar.
But Shep, you're so right. He's so confident with the delivery.
MD4040. What?
Crickets. And Connor Stacy kings him and tries to be like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Coom pops up and is like, uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. God. So good. So, yeah. Terrified.
Yeah. Don't be terrified. It'll be fine.
You'll grow up. Yeah. No, it's
my number that I threw at
him. No, stop.
MD4040. Just...
Oh, right. Yeah.
So great.
Connor's pretending.
He's on a delay.
He's Stacey King with Benetti.
Pretending.
Oh, okay.
He was pretending.
God.
Yeah, goodness.
So I like the combination of both plans. I do the 529 and save, and then either college isn't what it is now, or there's a scholarship, or the kid doesn't go to college, and then do what you do, and you just spent the money that you saved
yourself. Jack had a lot of money saved, and he didn't stick with college, so it sat there for a little while. And there's way you can get around it without getting taxed on it. You could transfer it to somebody. I transferred it to a very good friend's son for a year. He used it at Purdue his freshman year, and I got 90 cents on the dollar, so
there
I didn't get creamed on taxes. And then I went, Sam decided he didn't want to stay at Purdue, so I got the money back in our names, and it just kind of sat there. And when you're making entry-level car sales money, guess what? I'm going to take some of that for myself and pay the 10% penalty. Not a problem.
Sure. The helicopter doesn't fuel itself. Mm-hmm. You gotta do all of that.
It's a 100 grand bar now? It's not a $100,000 bar? 100 grand bar. Okay, I sit corrected. Thank you. I don't know my
candies
either.
Wasn't it always that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was a 100 grand bar.
$100,000 bars would. You know.
That used to be the jingle, Nestle's $100,000 bar. Yeah, so I'm not completely crazy. I got a few miles on me.
I guess.
Great song.
Where were you when you drank your first MD4040?
Probably the drive-in. Yeah, the drive-in theater. You guys probably never experienced those either. I miss the drive-in theater. That's an American institution, and you can find them if you look real hard. But they're not out there very much anymore. You ever go to one?
Never.
An
outdoor
movie theater?
Never.
Oh, they were the goods, man. You didn't even have to watch the movie. Take your girlfriend, jump in the back seat, take your buddies, just blaze up and stay off the road.
That's
last time I saw an outdoor theater, I think it was in the movie Twister when it gets blown up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's my experience with it as well. Eddie Jackson has had an interesting week, and the Bears have a big game tomorrow if they're going to make this season relevant. We'll talk to him about that and his fellow Tidesmen with Bama and LSU coming up on The Score.
My number that I threw at him, MD4040.
Yeah, yep, right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.